This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your own home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
All right, John Tavares will join us at 5:20, the 25th captain in team history. That was unveiled last night. And we'll get his take on what the atmosphere was like, what kind of reception he was expecting. He found out on Monday, and he clearly had to keep it a secret for a couple of days. Was that difficult for him to do? Did it feel similar to last July 1 or leading up to it, when I'm sure he made a decision that he was going to sign in Toronto, but he had not told the rest of the world that he was signing in Toronto? So he's done a pretty good job of keeping a secret. And that's captain material right there. You've got to keep your secret.
We don't want him at Hayes' casino. With a poker face like
I'll
that.
I'll guarantee you, and I'll ask him, he told one person.
Well, I'm sure he told buddy. His wife.
Well, his wife
was
there.
In the room when...
No, I mean, you know, I guess, yeah, you're right. Sorry. She was in the room.
Harry,
yeah.
Struggling.
Harry, you were there.
Phil, you were there. That was it. You're
yeah,
Phil.
That's right.
Phil, we were there.
I thought if he found out, you'd tell the wife. You always tell.
Yeah, at some point, if she was not involved, yes, I'm sure he would have gone home and told her. Yeah, I'm sure he probably let the cat out of the bag to somebody.
Dad.
Probably the dad.
Buddy.
Best friend, maybe?
Maybe. We'll find out at 5:20. So, John Tavares coming up. We're giving away another Tavares captaincy official Maple Leaf jersey at some point this hour. So make sure you're listening for the cue to call. Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joins us now, courtesy of the Maple Toyota Hotline. What's up, Ray?
I'm sitting outside of security at Pearson waiting to go through, but I have to talk to you guys, so I'm watching the line get bigger by the minute, and I'm starting to heat up a bit here, I think.
This feels like a perfect opportunity for like just a goofy hypothetical.
Yeah.
It wouldn't take me much right now, because I'm like, I was looking how many people are in the line, and I'm like, can I get through before 5:02? No, I can't. And I had to make that determination. So I'm actually angry at you, Hayes.
Yeah, it's my fault.
Of course it is. The other two guys are just, they don't schedule. It's just you.
No, they don't pay attention
to anything. Well, if you had a Nexus, you could just slide through any time.
Oh, noodles, I didn't tell you. I'm back.
Oh, you're back. Good.
I'm back. Okay. So just in time for the season, I got one. I got it mailed to me because I, you know, everything got, however it gets processed. And I'm I am back. I feel like I'm back in the game.
There you go.
You know what? I witnessed a guy go through customs on his cell phone. I have never seen a bolder maneuver in my life.
That could get
like
you
left
taken
the phone
ground.
From his ear and said, hey, what's up?
Here's my passport, and kept talking. Vegas, back Sunday, kept talking. And the guard never really cared.
That's ballsy.
I couldn't believe what I saw.
Man, yeah. I would never have... No. Have the balls to do that. No way, man.
No way. That's watch list material.
For sure.
Yeah.
And you're never flying to the States ever
exactly.
again.
Exactly.
Hey, Noodles, when you played in Russia,
yes.
Is there anything more freaky than going through customs there where nobody speaks English? You just kind of hand your passport and the guy stares at you and you're like, I don't even know what's going on. I hate it.
Yeah, it was... We had landed, it was 36 degrees out, and there wasn't an air conditioner to be found. The lineup was 2.5 hours long, and there really was no line. It was just a bunch of people trying to push to get through to, like, the customs guy. And you're right, you hand him the passport, he gives you the desk there, and if you're lucky, you don't get chicken-winged into a room, and you go through, and you try and retrieve your bag from 2.5 hours that somebody has probably rifled through and thrown onto the floor. So, yeah, that was my first experience at Sheremetyev Airport.
Yeah, that was all the places I've gone into, I just felt like I think they're going through my whole life on that computer, whatever's on that thing.
Yeah.
I think they're, you know, like, and you just stand there, and then all of a sudden you just slide the passport back and, you're like, I think I can go, but nobody says anything, so I just, you know, you leave. And I'm like, oh, man, I don't like that.
No.
Yeah, that'd be pretty unnerving,
it's intimidating.
I think.
Yeah.
How about Austin Matthews? 4 years in a row. Man, this guy loves opening night.
They got to find a new team to schedule against them here. Senators have not had much luck.
No kidding.
But I thought once they got rolling in the second period, you saw what the difference between the two teams is, right? Like the, like Ottawa just had no answer for the way the game started to move, the pace that it started to be played at, the skill that started to be shown. And it's crazy to think if it's not for that offside goal, it's 3-2 Ottawa at that time.
Right.
Right. Yeah, you know, like it, because Toronto scored to make it 2-1. And then I want to say 12 seconds later, Sabourin scored.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it's 2-2 and you're like, oh, I wasn't even paying attention. Kind of like, oh, that was quick. And then bam, there's another one and, you know, it's offside. And then from there on, it was like the rink got tipped. I mean, there's no coming back for Ottawa from that.
Ray, it reminded me of your Thrashers. It was like first period, the Thrashers were always real good, intense. Yeah. And then as time went on, just stupid things started happening and it'd be the same thing every game.
Yeah, you can't, when you're on a team like that, you can't keep the level of play up long enough
no.
to stay in the game. And as soon as it goes bad, like it went 3-2, and then when it went to 4-2, it could have been about 6-2.
Yeah.
And you're like, man, this is not, there's no way to rein this back in. Like the game was gone at that point. And, you know, and of course, talk of Matthews, you know, of course, he was super impressive. You know, the way he finishes the play, but I thought Nylander was like, he looked like he was shot out of a cannon a couple of times. When he gets going and then the play he made to Matthews on the first one, like that is slick stuff. And there's a big year ahead of Nylander, I think.
Yeah, I think if he's with 34 5-on-5 all year, and even just with Tyson Barrie on the second power play unit, he's going to have skill with him every single time he's on the ice. And that's going to open a lot of doors for him.
I also, you know, with his personality and the way he is, I think there's a chip that he carries all the time, kind of like, I'll show you my way's okay. And after the way last year went, it just kind of feels like that year is in front of him.
Hayes mentioned that Tyson Barrie is the absolute veteran of not caring whatsoever in the preseason, and then come puck drop on game one was just fantastic.
Okay, so I've watched Tyson play since he's, 13 years old. I played in Victoria, and, you know, he's been the same player ever since I saw him, and he's a high-event player. Like, when he's on the ice, rarely is the shift boring. He might do a flyby defensively once in a while. He might try to do something too much with the puck. But if he sees any opening, not only does he jump into it, but he's got the skill and the courage to make the play. Like, he'll make a play. Like, just watch him. Like, he'll find a play, and then he goes right after the pass. Like, he's not waiting. He's like, he's in. Like, he is. For whatever the Leafs want to be, he's the type of defenseman that fits. Like there's a boldness to Tyson Barrie's game that I think people are going to love. There's going to be times when they go, geez, I wish he'd put the brakes on in his zone once in a while. But he's thinking north. Like, as soon as he gets the puck, it's time to go. And I kind of like watching him play.
Yeah, he's fun, man. Like the last man back toe drag.
Oh, there's no fear to that kid.
That's a scrimmage. That's a shinny move, no equipment.
I don't know if you ever got stuck back there, you know, covering for a D-man or something.
Rarely.
I was terrified back there. I'm like, the puck would come to me, and I'm like, I'm not doing anything with it except like those blockhead D that shoot it back behind the net. I'm like, that's what I'm doing. I don't like it out here. It's dangerous. And Barrie doesn't, I mean, that's what he always does, but he doesn't feel that.
Yeah. Well, half the forwards can barely skate backwards.
Well, and then we'd have you guys yelling from 150 feet away, heads up, heads up, because you're like, oh, my God, that guy can't skate. He's coming backwards, and he can't skate.
The worst feeling as a goaltender is seeing, like, a star player coming in on a one-on-one or something, maybe wide, with a forward back. Like,
Goalies are so gutless, though. Like, they, you guys scream at players.
Of course you scream.
Like, and it's all like,
let's go, move
it. Oh, man, I remember.
But God forbid you ever yell at a goalie when they let in a garbage goal.
Never. They break their stick over your face.
No, no.
How dare you comment on my ability to.
It goes both ways, certainly, but I always made sure to never laser a player after a goal.
Yeah.
Like, that was one thing. I think I've told you this, Ray, but Tommy Kervers, he taught me a lesson early on in my career. I was backing up. I got called up my first ever NHL game, and the goalie got scored on, and he was lasering the D. And Tommy Kervers leaned over to me, and he said, "You see that in the net? Don't ever do that." He said, "If you want to make it in this league, don't ever embarrass your own D." And our goaltender was embarrassing the D by lasering him. He was so mad.
Well, I'll tell you, there's going to be some chances for Craig Anderson, I think, this year.
Yeah.
Because what did Toronto have last night? 86 or 84 shot attempts? And I know they're not all in the middle of the ice, but that means there's a lot of things going wrong in front of you. And it's got to take composure for a guy, you know, a veteran guy to go, man, these guys are learning on the job and they can't keep up right now.
Yeah.
So I went back and looked at the TSN top 50 NHL list. And the reason I did that, I wanted to see where Draisaitl ended up. He was 11th on the list, which is a very respectable number.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a really respectable number. If you're being ranked the 11th best player in the league, you're getting love. You can't claim like people are forgetting about you.
He was gross last night.
Spectacular last night.
Yeah.
He looked like a midget player playing against Pee Wee.
Yeah.
Like, they had no chance. In the first half of the game in particular, he could have had four goals.
Yeah.
He looked stronger than everybody. There was one time they were on the power play, and there was a face-off, and he was sour at the way the guys were getting lined up. And the referee kind of warned him, you know, like, you're going to get kicked out next time. And he just put his stick down, and he totally out-muscled Bo Horvat on the draw, who's as strong as an ox. And I'm like, holy man, this guy is growing into a man.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like, oh,
he looks like he's just
unreal.
Clicked for him, like the competitiveness, the everything's there at the right time, and it's dangerous.
I don't know if you saw Mike Kelly's tweet today about the point hockey. He had 19 controlled exits out of his own zone last night, which is like McDavid had 9. Like, dry, not only offensively, but defensively. Like, this guy he was all over the ice. Matthews had an amazing night last night. I would argue Matthews and Draisaitl were the best players in the league last night.
Yeah, I would agree. I thought Matthews was terrific, but I thought Draisaitl was, like, he just jumped off the page every time you watched him. You know the other thing I can't get? And I don't know, Noodles, if you're a... Or if you guys are stick guys, stick watchers, I can't stop staring at the length of the blade he uses.
And the width of it.
It's Timo Solani's. It's
like it's enormous. And I don't know. It feels like you'd be pushing air around with it.
Yeah, it's kind of like Patrick Kane has a very similar blade.
Wide blade.
Big wide blade, long. Little curve. And they just, they make it work, man.
Cool. And the other thing I'll say from last night's game was... I thought it's really his first year, but Quinn Hughes was pretty good. He got Draisaitl manhandled him one time going down the boards. He just shoved him aside. But I was like, wow, Hughes is kid can skate and handle the puck, man. He played 23 minutes last night, 10 in the third period. He's going to be their best defenseman. If he's not already, he'll be that in 20 games.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's a
good player. He and Pettersson had a shift.
I saw your tweet.
At the end of the second period, that was disgusting. Like, it was just the two of them. Like, the rest of the Canucks might as well have just gone to the bench.
The Oilers couldn't get... The Oilers had a poor clearing, and they got jammed up in their own zone, and that was when Hughes and Pettersson just started circling...
Globetrotters.
Circling the wagons there.
Yeah, he's good, man. He's not a surprise.
Smooth player.
But you know what? You mentioned something, and it just jogged my memory, is that how, you know, everybody's excited for the year, and, you know, Edmonton gets their first win, and Draisaitl's got 3 points, and McDavid's got gets the game winner, and their best defenseman broke his fibula, and he's out for 6 to 8 weeks.
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
what happens?
It's like, look how quickly things move. and you're like, you know, how are they going to get through 2 months without Adam Larson? Yeah. They called up Evan Bouchard, and you know, but holy smokes, that's about the last guy they needed to lose.
Well, especially looking for redemption. He had a tough year last year, and he wanted to hit the ground running. Anyway, you're off to Columbus, I believe, so we'll catch you up tomorrow and tee up that game at 5 p.m.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say 5 p.m. I was like, no, the game's at 7. I'm like, oh, you guys, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I obligations.
Should be through customs
priorities.
I should be through customs by then.
All right. Good luck with that.
Okay. See you guys.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com. I thought McDavid had a pretty quiet night until he decided, I'm just going to win the game.
I bet you he might have had a bit of a meeting saying, just fire Draisaitl. You notice how the game was totally different when he started playing with Draisaitl in the third period?
Yeah. But he looked...
Magic every shift.
He had no legs, though. He looked tired. Like, he didn't look sharp at all.
He wasn't explosive. No. Now, you say that, he split 2D and went shelf.
No, I get that.
But he was not his usual self.
He wasn't... You're right. He wasn't the guy who was... three breakaways a game in that. He did when it mattered, but in watching the game from start to finish, I thought he looked like he didn't have legs last
One night. Thing I think they have to pull the trigger on, you mentioned the $4 million price tag on Kadri being rich for the third-line center position. Try $6 million for Nuge. That might have to be...
He might have to play second line, though. That's the thing.
He played the wing. They pushed him to the wing. That's why he's...
Whatever it is, they might have to... Think about if they can flip him for either a D-man or I don't know. Well, but having him play...
Yeah, they had him kind of all over. They moved him around. I thought Tippett did a good job last night of managing... That Nygaard can skate. Like, the one thing, if you look at... We got to get going anyway, so we got to get to JT.
Yeah, we'll bring this back up with Bob McKenzie. He'll be in studio in the next hour. But John Tavares is going to call in. He's down in Columbus.
Yeah.
So we'll get his take on... what it was like last night skating out, the crowd reception, how he handled knowing the secret or knowing the news for about 48 hours that he would be the newest captain of the team. So John Tavares will join us next. All right, Bob McKenzie, our hockey insider, in studio in about an hour. He's got a new contract, Bobby Mack. Sure he'll be in the mood to talk about that with us.
For sure.
5-year extension.
His son Mike had a great tweet about that. Basically,
that it's not going to age well.
Yeah, he's like, this is an overpayment. Veteran, he's already slowing down. Year 3 buyout potential.
That's funny.
Yeah. So we'll get McKenzie in here in about an hour, the Thursday night or tonight, Rams at Seahawks. You can hear that on TSN Radio. We're going to give away another John Tavares jersey with the C on it at some point today, some point this hour, and some point next hour. And John Tavares is going to call in from Columbus any moment now. And I think his life will change to an extent, but he was doing media every day last year anyway.
Yeah.
And
it's not that big of a change. He just got to...
He was the captain in New York, right? Like, he's just going to continue to play and do what he's always done.
I don't think it'll affect his life that much other than a couple things as far as responsibility. Like, yeah, you got to talk every day. I'm sure he talked every day in New York. This market a little bit different. Plus... I think there is some off-ice stuff where the captain has to probably be there.
Like a sense of obligation to represent the team?
You know, president and captain and general manager got to go to this function or whatever. I think
you really got to be aware of your teammates, too. Like, if there's a guy that's on the fourth line that's getting benched or scratched, you got to know to take him out to lunch just the same if a guy like Mitch Marner or your line mate's struggling. You got to be aware of everybody in the locker room.
Yep, that's fair. Veteran guys do that, and good leaders do that. So
right. Well, and that's been a pretty consistent message from all of them, that there's a leadership group. It's not all on him.
No.
It's not like every other player is like, oh, I don't care now. I'm not in the running for the captaincy, so I'm not going to be a good leader or a good guy in the room.
No, not at all.
I mean, there's the three A's who we're aware of. When Hyman returns, he's going to be a part of it. Jake Muzzin's a guy who's a grizzled vet.
Absolutely.
Tyson Berry's been around the block. Freddie Anderson.
Yep. Leadership group. That's what it is.
Right.
But you've got a captain and a figurehead and a guy who's going to shoulder some of the responsibilities of the day-to-day stuff.
25th captain in Maple Leaf history. Officially unveiled last night. during the opening ceremonies. The Maple Leafs get a win last night. They're off to Columbus tomorrow night. And we head down there now and catch up with the new captain. Here's John Tavares. How you doing, John?
I'm great, guys. How you doing?
We're doing well. That was pretty cool last night. I mean, we're all watching it. What was it like for you stepping out onto the ice with the C on?
It was pretty spectacular. I think, I knew for about a day and a half and was just really kind of excited about it. And, knowing it's a big deal amongst our fan base and in the city that it was going to be a great moment. I just thought it was really, really well done with how the team wanted to go about it. And after that, it wasn't great for the first shift, but overall it was a really good night for our team. So to follow it up with a win like that and start the season that way, can't ask for a better night.
When you found out, you had to have told one person, whether it be family member, one of your buddies. Like, be honest with us. Did you tell anybody?
Well, the next day, my parents came over for dinner to catch up, see my son as well, and that's kind of when I showed them the jersey and kind of told them the story, how they told me. I did my best to kind of keep it quiet. There might have been one or two really close buddies that I might have hinted towards, but I know we wanted to kind of keep it quiet. So, but yeah, it's not always easy, especially when you got a few people reaching out to you, but we're able to keep it tight until last night, which was good.
Which secret was more difficult to keep to yourself? The fact that you were going to sign in Toronto back on July 1st, or you being announced as the captain?
Well, the signing just kind of the way it played out. I didn't really have to wait very long to kind of let everyone know when we kind of came to agreement on what the term and the cap number was going to be, and then just took a couple hours to get the structure done. That kind of came all kind of snowballed and happened very quickly. Where when I found out late Monday afternoon, that was a good couple days. And just knowing and really no one else knowing, and then being asked about it a lot. So probably definitely last night was a lot tougher.
You're the captain in the island for a long time. What's one thing you take away from that experience, whether dealing with the players, the media, or just one kind of staple or principle that you're going to run with and continue to do?
One guy doesn't make the team or does take on the full responsibility to lead the team. That's what makes good hockey teams, is you have a really good group of people, a good group of men that all come together, and you have many guys step up at many different points of the year. And I don't have all the answers, and there's times when it's not going as well for me, or someone sees something differently and they have a differing opinion that they have some great insight. We got some guys that have been around for a while. Jake Muzzin's a guy who's won a Stanley Cup. So there's so many guys in our room that all need to lean on for so many different things. It's really that support system around you and everyone kind of coming together to obviously do the best and right thing for our team and give us the best opportunity for success.
How's your game day routine going to change with the birth of your son? Are you going to be trying to work in as much sleep as you can on the road?
Yeah, there's no question. The road, there'll be some good, there'll be some quality sleep for sure. But I got to give my mother-in-law a lot of credit. She's been with us since his birth, and it's actually gotten me my own floor. So somehow I lucked out there so far, but it's been great getting up in the morning with Jace and spending all day with him. And someone, it's unbelievable when you come home from the rink, just that feeling and anticipation to see him and just spend time with him. And, it's amazing how quickly they change and they grow. And it's unbelievable. It's already been 3 weeks. So just enjoying all of that and taking it all in. And obviously it's kind of been a busy few weeks, but you can't ask for much more than this. So just excited to kind of continue to see him grow and continue into the season here, and hoping for a long, long year, long journey for us.
with John Tavares. We've all seen that video of you walking into, I believe it was Shanahan's office, and your wife was in there, and Jace, your boy, was in there. Take us through that experience when you walk into the room. I'm sure you had an idea of what was coming.
By the way, had that happened, did they say, by the way, we want to talk to you down at the offices? I mean, you probably knew you weren't in trouble. Like, how'd the whole thing go down?
Yeah. So Doobie texts me Sunday, just asked if we could meet there in the afternoon about a bunch of things he'd been kind of talking about with the leadership group, some details just heading into the year and certain things we've been kind of going over and certain things we needed to finalize before kind of going into opening week here. And I did, you know, I thought it was kind of a little strange for him that asked me to come all the way down to Scotia when we could just probably meet after practice. You know, he's there every day. So I thought there might be something to it, but I wasn't 100% sure, but certainly had a feeling that maybe something was coming. But my wife did a great job on surprising me with our son, and both of them being there just kind of, you know, took the words right out of my mouth. I couldn't even really remember what everyone was saying to me. All I remember was just first seeing his face and seeing the jersey on him with the C, and that was really, really touching, really emotional to have him kind of tell me such a great moment for me in my career, and just to have him be a part of it and kind of be the one was really special.
We know you always dreamt of being a Maple Leaf. Did you always dream of being the captain of the Maple Leafs growing up?
I just want to, you know, when I, you know, growing up, I obviously, the Maple Leafs were my team, and I wanted to play in the NHL, and a lot of your favorite players were guys that were captains and you looked up to. So, but those, I mean, that seemed so far down the road. You didn't even know if you'd ever have that opportunity. It was all about being in the NHL, and if that was to come to fruition, what a bonus. And I've been pretty fortunate, so I definitely won't ever take this opportunity for granted.
Have any of the former captains of the Leafs reached out to you?
Daryl Sittler and Lenell Clark were there last night. Came down to the locker room and just kind of welcomed me, and just wanted to be very supportive and congratulate me, which was great. We got a nice picture together. And I know Dion from playing in world championships with him, and we spent a little time afterwards together that summer, so developed a good friendship and got to know him pretty well. And he sent a really nice text to me last night about what a great opportunity and why it's really special to be in this position, in this role, in Toronto, which was really nice as well.
Wendell came up yesterday on our show, and I said I believe he could still beat up pretty much everyone in the league. And I said specifically your team. I think I think if Wendell stepped on the ice on skates tonight, he could lay a beating on pretty much everybody. Do you
Such
think
a random?
Well, it's just he came up. He's a former captain. Would you confirm or deny that Wendell could still do some damage?
I would probably confirm that. Although the one sneaky guy that would be difficult to beat up, I think, is Freddie Anderson, because he's a unit.
So, really?
Really?
He's a tank. He's like, you see Freddie walk around, like, his shoulders, it's hard to get his shoulders through the door. So, but I still like to think with Wendell's experience, he's probably got the upper hand. So,
he was a mean fighter, man. He, like, yeah, just he was, throwing bombs.
He had it all. So,
yep, he did. With John Tavares, quickly about your team. I mean, you guys got off to a good start last night. We talked a lot about the training camp, the build up to it, the anticipation of the captaincy, the stuff that happened with Austin, the Marner negotiation. It felt like there was a lot of off the ice distractions. Did it feel that way for you guys? Like, were you really looking forward to getting started last night?
Well, 100%. I think getting out there and getting the season going, there's nothing like this time of year, and just, you know, 4 or 5 months in between the end of last year and turning the page and preparing, and a lot of talk, a lot of change. You're always excited to get it going. There's been stuff going on, but, you know, I think that's what really impressed me last year. And I think before I signed here, looking from the outside, was just how well these young guys and this young core handles this attention they get and their ability to just focus on being themselves and coming to the rink every day and being great pros and putting the work and understanding what they have to do to play at a high level and not let everything kind of get in the way of that. And that can obviously be very difficult at times with all the attention that we receive. So, you know, we just, I think, did a great job just focusing on how we can get better every day and improving through training camp, which I really think we did. We saw a really good progression. And you know, obviously, I think we got a really talented team, and I think everyone's excited about this opportunity. And as our group continues to mature, I think, you know, there's just that sense that, you know, we want to take advantage of these opportunities. We have an extremely, like I said, a talented group that continues to mature. And you know, wants to do something special. We have the team to do it. So just continue to focus on all that. We have fun coming to the rink every day. It's a great bunch of guys, and when you have that camaraderie and just having fun in the locker room, all that stuff, you just don't really worry about it. I think we all have so much trust and belief in one another. We all have each other's back. So it's just a ton of fun. And like I said, playing with these guys and how skilled and talented they are, the pace we play with in practice, just the work ethic and the focus to be better is second to none.
You're the captain of the Leafs. Who would you say is the captain of this show on Overdrive?
It's a great question. I don't know who's, you know, I like to think I try to be as even keel as possible. I would assume Hayes is probably
there you go.
The guy that keeps everything on the
rail. We got to go, buddy.
That's the answer.
We got to go.
That's a spectacular answer.
We got to go, buddy.
Get me some
That's
love.
Why you're the captain right there.
Well, I'm not going to hear this clip all year long.
Yeah, that's up on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
We got bad reception.
We'll
there.
Tag you in all these posts, all right?
That's great.
Congratulations, John. Good luck tomorrow night. Thank you for doing this.
Congratulations.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
There's John Tavares, the captain of the Maple Leafs.
We got to put his soundbite with Dwayne Casey's, with Dan Patrick's, all of them just showing you love.
Marcellus Wiley did that earlier in the week, too. I wasn't even paying attention, and he dropped a couple. You know what? That's a really good point, Brian.
Yeah.
He said that a couple of different
right.
times.
He did.
That's a good point, Brian.
That's a good point, Brian. There's my
One
boy.
Was where he said that was a really good question, and I think I looked at you.
Mm-hmm. Captain of the Leafs called you the captain of Overdrive.
That's right. That's well, he knows what's up, man. Like, that's why he's from this
he's
market.
He's probably watched this show and said, if this guy's not sitting in the chair, it's an absolute tire fire over here. You know that.
I thought it was a joke of a comment.
That's, how about
I think he was going to hang up on you and be like, yeah, I think Wendell Clark could kick everyone's ass in that room.
Well, I tried to soften it by saying he could beat up everyone. Then I'm like, let's be honest. Yeah. I said the Leafs.
And
like,
get it beat up you. I thought he was going to say Freddie the Goat.
That's what I thought he was going
to
say.
He like the Freddie. And I was like, yeah, the Goat's a big guy.
Imagine Freddie Anderson just laying a smackdown like, on Wendell.
Freddie is Anderson's a very large man. Like, he's very large.
Wendell
grabbed 6'4".
Marty McSorley.
Bob Probert.
Yeah.
Multiple times in the same game.
Anyway, if you want to puke in your mouth, listen to this.
I like to think I try to be as even keel as possible. I would assume Hayes is probably
there you go.
The guy that keeps everything on.
That's just throw up.
Keep that playing. Why would you cut it, man? Let him just continue to talk. And
I was hoping he was going to say me. Like, yeah, Noodles is the even keel guy, you know.
That's what I thought he was going to say.
I was waiting for him to be like, yeah, you know, the just kind of keeps to himself and
right.
doesn't, you know, doesn't get too high, too low. It's Hayes.
Yeah. Clearly, this guy didn't hear the show after game 7.
Al's brother, I'll give you $5,000 if you go into the system and delete that comment forever.
Yeah, forever. Just flush that.
Flush it down
Al's
the
brother.
Tube.
He doesn't have that kind of access.
Yeah, I think he does.
Yeah, he does. Do you, Al's brother?
Yes.
No?
Thank you.
Al's brother.
Are you Al's brother? His name's Mike.
Do you
Mike.
Know how
you
to
know
get
that.
In there and erase that or no?
No, he doesn't. Leave him alone. It's Mike.
I
and he's
know,
a beautician. He's not
his
Al's
name is
brother.
Al's brother.
Yeah, it is.
And I like the name, and it's sticking.
It is a spectacular name. I'll bet you it's because sometimes if you Google Overdrive, you know how it goes Overdrive,
yeah.
And then there's like a bunch of different options. I'll bet you Overdrive Al's brother
has been
is probably in the top
it's
five.
It's been searched for
Google
sure.
Search.
Overdrive Mulls, Overdrive Grappler, Overdrive Al's brother.
Yep.
So you have no idea how to get in there.
He's got to figure out. Right. You know what he has to do is plant a couple photos in there. On that wiki page or whatever. Just of how, you know.
Create a Wikipedia page?
Exactly.
Al's brother?
Al's brother. And have it like Brad Pitt.
I wonder how Al's doing. We haven't heard from Al in a while. He's a superstar on CTV News.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is. Al was down game six
the Raptors,
of the NBA
right?
Finals.
No, he's sharpened skates now. He's a hockey guy.
Yeah, he's got a couple different things cooking. But I'm right. telling you, he was down there doing live hits.
I remember actually you pointing it out. He
and
did
he did
look
a spectacular
good.
Job. He did a great job.
Well,
the original Al.
That's why he let us go, is because he's gone on to bigger and better things.
There are so many people texting in.
What?
About what?
About Hayes being the captain.
No, they're not.
Yeah. Tavares is right. Leader. This ship goes down quickly without Captain Hazy B.
Yes.
Captain Hayes.
Puke. This Captain is Hazy B.
Captain Hazy B. I want that all over Instagram, all yeah. over Facebook, all well, over Twitter.
That's the one that gets
everywhere.
Flushed by SportsCenter. They're like, not. Well,
oh, that's not
going to
get up there. No way.
Let's hear it again, just to puke.
I like to think I try to be as even keel as possible. I would assume Hayes is probably.
There you go.
You
gotta
keep everything on the
rail. We gotta go, buddy.
That's the answer.
We gotta
right. go.
I think he's joking.
Yeah, I do.
I
too.
I think he's like, I like to keep things even keel.
He knew that you were not an athlete, and he felt sorry for your stupid ass.
No, no, no. He thinks you're volatile, too. I think he
felt bad for you, because you, when people call in and say, Jamie and Jeff, you guys would know this, you played in the NHL, he's aware of that.
No.
And he felt bad, because you were a stiff in the O, you couldn't crack a lineup in Sarnia, you couldn't play in Barrie, you had a gambling ring in university that cost you tons of dough.
That one's the best.
Your pets' heads were falling off, and then you ended up on radio, and he knew all that stuff.
No.
And he felt bad
so
for
it was a pity shout-out?
No, no,
that's
no,
what
no.
it was.
A pity shout-out.
He heard about
he
the
pity.
Gambling stuff, and he knew you were down in your dumps.
He was
down
opposite
in the dumps.
George. He's like, even keel. When you're anything but even
keel.
No,
I'm not even keel.
When it comes to, like...
The Leafs.
Well, Toronto sports. Let's
yeah,
say Toronto.
Yeah, in general, the Toronto
Because it's not just
scene.
The Leafs. It's Toronto sports.
Right.
So, because you get high with the fans, you get low with the fans, like that, you're passionate about it. You are the pulse of the Toronto fan base.
That's like Dwayne Casey over there. Did Casey pay you off to say
no,
that?
No, no. But that's where, when I look at...
We'll play your highlight reel when we come back.
I'm the voice of the NBA in the city.
Yes,
and throughout
you are.
The country.
AZB, you are.
And I didn't say that myself. That was Dwayne Casey who anointed me that.
Yeah, we've got to get that sound.
And now
you,
John...
you represent the NBA as far as the sports media is concerned there in Toronto.
What the hell? What is this, a highlight? Like, were you playing
Hayes
your highlights?
Look,
let's just go to break and come back and play all of his highlights.
All right.
I love it.
We'll do that next. Someone texting in, Hayes is definitely the captain. The O-Dog and Noodles just simply are not captain material.
Yeah, I'm.
That's just a fact. I mean, from one captain to another.
We're part of the leadership group. That's what it is.
I'll grant you that.
I was always a good assistant.
You can have A's on your jersey. You guys can rotate. See, there it is up on TSN4. Look how beautiful that looks.
The C.
Look at me with the C on the wrong side of the jersey.
Who did that?
Some a crafty member of the Twitter society.
That's the Detroit style on the right side.
I like it.
You should
the
do
wing.
K for captain. We can do our own thing.
The Russian K?
The Russian K.
Yeah. I think next Friday, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a weight reveal.
Yeah. And you're going to wear a captain jersey.
And I'll wear a captain jersey.
How's this reveal going to work?
I'm telling you, I'm getting a box. There's going to be three balloons in there.
Yeah.
And
you open the box and the balloon floats out with the number.
Right. The first one will be a 2.
Yeah.
The second one,
we'll see.
Hopefully, will be a 5.
It could be a 4.
No.
2, 4, 9.
Could be a 7.
No, it would not be.
I don't want it to be.
I don't want it to be either.
If you have
and
a
by the
weekend.
Way, I was informed by my trainer that number on that scale would have been heavy. I don't know what that's about.
You're calling fake news on the scale?
I told you
Wrong
right
conclusions.
Away, there's no way that you were 267. I thought you're lower than that.
We'll see. We'll have the reveal.
I would have said 255, but not 267. I thought that was rich.
Right. Is that? Are you pulling like a hoax here?
I think what he's doing is he said he was 267. He's going to step on the scale.
You can communicate when the guy sends you the number. You, like, why would I? Do you think I care about like massive?
Well, it'd be a great setup if you're claiming you're 267. Then
you
all of a sudden
you're
240.
I would do that. No.
No.
The answer is no. I don't really care.
But I think
like
that...
it's. I came out with the truth on television. Like I don't care.
Mike texting in saying the O-Dog slighted in Carolina upon his return and slighted again by John Tavares. Because you were fishing for an O-Dog as the captain of the ship here.
I just wanted to know the man's answer.
Well, here's what he said. You asked him, John Tavares, this was the most important question of the whole interview. Everything else,
yeah,
whatever, except for the Wendell stuff. That was pretty good material.
That was pretty good.
Him saying that Freddie Anderson could potentially beat Wendell Clark in a fight. But you asked him, who does he think is the captain of Overdrive?
I like to think I try to be as even keel as possible. I would assume Hayes is probably...
There you go.
Gotta keep everything on
the rail. Well, we got to go,
buddy. That's the answer.
What if he said Al's brother? What if he was like, you know what, I just...
Al's brother runs that
ship. Al's brother is the guy that I would, you know, tune in to listen to. I know he's the brains behind it all.
That would have been the most spectacular answer.
If he said Al's brother, I would have cried laughing. Cried.
The beauty of Al's brother is Al's real name is not Al. So
it's Joe.
It's Joe.
Joe Narsa.
So his Al. Name is Joe, but he went by Al.
Yeah.
And now his name is Mike, but he goes by Al's brother. Neither of which is right.
Yeah,
no.
That's fine.
Al was not Al, and Al's brother is not. Neither his brother
or Al.
Or Al.
It's awesome.
Anyway, Noodles is the captain of Overdrive. No questions asked. He's
really?
An absolute legend. That is from the 289. That's a 289.
That's a greasy Toronto. That's like
where's 289 area?
That's not an area code you want to be associated with.
Is it Vaughan? Is it Kleinberg?
No,
what
it's
is
like
it?
The third area code in Toronto.
Want to be Toronto.
So it's like
you don't have
New York
a
used to be 2, or New York's 212, but there's also 646 because there's so many people.
Yeah, but it's beyond that. Like here, there's 416, 647, and now there's 289.
So it's a new person. It's a millennial.
It could be. 289, really? You've got to go in and demand a new number. You've got to have a 416, maybe a 647.
Yeah.
289 is a tough. That's a
I
Noodles
like that
number.
Person. I
that's
like
your
that.
Guy. You
even if it's 416 and it spells out I'm a sloth, you take it.
Anything.
Anything.
I'll take that.
416, they're tough to hold on to, man.
Really?
Yeah, they're all out. They've all been dispersed.
Big population here, that's why. It's
right.
But 647, isn't that more like Mississauga?
No, I don't think it has anything to do with geography. It's just simply they've run out of 416.
The amount of people are just rolling through.
Just like New York.
Yeah.
Because 917, it's not like you got to be in Queens to get 917.
212, 917,
and 646. They got three of them.
Yeah. Wow.
They probably have four. I wouldn't be surprised if they got four in New
York. I was hoping for Tavares to give me the nod because wasn't it Kyle Dubas that gave me the nod? When you guys said, when you asked who could be in, who would you hire or something like that?
Yeah, he said you were the most normal person, basically.
That's
on
basically
the show.
What he said.
The most reliable one. And I can't fight that. I'm even keeled. You're the most reliable.
Fair enough. I don't know about that.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the 25th captain in franchise history from Oakville, Ontario.
That's your captain right there. That's my captain, too, yeah. John Tavares. Phone lines are open, 416-870-1050. This is your chance to win a brand-new Captain Tavares Maple Leaf jersey. If you are the 10th caller in at 416-870-1050, you win instantly. If you cannot get through, we will do it again. One last jersey in the 6 p.m. hour, 416-870-1050. We should give out an Al's brother.
Yeah.
Jersey. Like a TSN 1050 with Al's brother on the back.
And a
sign
question
it
mark.
And
like for his face.
Yeah, we can't reveal the identity of
Al's brother.
Al's brother's behind the glass. It's like a witness protection program when they're speaking. behind the glass. You can't reveal. You just see the shape of Al's brother.
Let's go out hearing you being named the captain.
I like to think I try to be as even keel as possible. I would assume Hayes is probably
there. You go.
The guy that keeps everything on the rail.
We gotta go, buddy.
That's the answer.
We gotta
That's captain material, man. That's a smart answer. That's the right answer, and that's why he's the new captain, the 25th captain in Maple Leaf history. Bob McKenzie, your hockey insider, in studio in the next hour. We'll tee up the Thursday nighter in the NLDS. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050.
This hour has been brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.